Brand new mission statement for the church, putting Christ first. We believe it's much more concise, precise. It's a workable mission statement that all of us can remember, right? What is it? Boy, you guys are so excited. Putting Christ first. Right? Putting Christ first. Like, this is so awesome that we get to do this as people of God. And so we are doing a series to kind of kick off this new mission statement, putting Christ first. And of course, you know, whenever I'm putting a series together, I'm always kind of like trying to line up when I'm going to be speaking on what part of that series that I felt led of God to kind of put together. And it's just sometimes it just seems like as if God like really says, okay, yeah, do this one this week. And this is the one that I believe God put on my heart. And so today we're going to kind of kick into week number two, but let's do a little bit of review for those who are not here or those of you who are forgetful like me. Like, I can remember stuff from 20 years ago. I can't remember if I brushed my teeth this morning. I think I did. But let's go back and do it a little bit as we talked about the introduction to this series, Putting Christ First. And we really talked about, you know, what does that mean? Putting Christ first. It involves really simplified three things, right? We believe, we become, and we behave. It's in that order. It's not we believe, we behave, and we become. That's a works-based religion. We don't have a works-based religion. We have a God's grace-based religion. So it's we believe, we become. God makes us his son or his daughter. Heaven is our home. And then as a result of that, we seek to please him all of our days by what? By behaving, by doing what he wants us to do in our life. So we encouraged you last week to consider a number of ways that this series can be maybe a little bit more impactful to you. So we said, be here for all 6 weeks of the series. And so if you were here last week and you're here this week, yay, you've only got 4 more weeks. If this is your first week, you can go to our social media, you can watch week 1, and then plan on being here for the next 4 in a row. I'd really appreciate that if you could be here. It really is impactful and helpful. Also, we encourage you to read 3 gospel chapters every week, all right? So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the 4 gospels. That is the life and ministry of Jesus here on this earth. If you read 3 chapters every single day for the next 30 days, you will read all 4 gospels. Now, for some of you, it's like, I've done that so many times. For others, this might be the first time. So it's a real challenge for you. I don't know where you're at with your chapters, but if you're behind, just catch up. Just spend a little bit more time doing that than doing something else that's not nearly as impactful in your life, if I'm being honest. So we want to encourage you to do that. Third, we encourage you to share your areas of holdout, all right? If you're not putting Christ first in an area or areas of your life, number one, just say, God, I'm just coming to you and I admit it. Don't know that I ever have to you, Lord said. You already know it, but I'm just admitting it to you. And then share it with somebody close to you, somebody that's a confidant, somebody that you know you can trust. And say, hey, man, will you pray with me and for me about this? This is a holdout area that I have. I'm not putting Christ first in this area. And then fourth and last, just kind of a silly little thing that we can do, but we bought some bracelets, wristbands rather, that say, put Christ first, and then it has the verses from which this series and our mission statement sprang from, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, 7. If you want one of these, they're free. They're out in the lobby. If we run out, please let somebody know at the check-in desk or at the Hope Connects desk, and we'll make sure that we get some more. We just don't want to put all of them out because they'll disappear, right? You'll sell them on eBay or something for $500 or something. So encourage you to do that just as a reminder. Keep it on your wrist. Maybe someone will say something to you as you wear that you can be a spark plug in their faith journey. And everybody has one of those, a place where they first really get that first initial thought that, hey, maybe I need to think beyond just the physical, all right? So that's what we encourage you to do in week number 1. Today, we're gonna talk about the chain of command. Chain of command. Now, I'm about to trigger some of you, and I know it, and I'm sorry, all right? I'm about to trigger some of you. You're gonna go back to maybe a very unhappy place in your life, but I'm gonna take you back to boot camp. Like, boot camp is when young men and young women realize, perhaps for the first time, that they are truly not in charge. that someone else is going to call the shots for a while. And so, man, as they go to boot camp, they have to arrive on time. They have to be prepared. And immediately, like their person in front of them, right, usually with, you know, a stern face, bad breath, vulgar language, is letting them know right up front, you may think you're the man, you're the woman, but starting today, you're not. You're a boy, you're a girl. I'm your daddy, I'm your mama. I'm the one that you're gonna answer to. You're gonna speak when I tell you to speak. You're gonna move when I tell you to move. There's nothing that you're gonna be able to do that you cannot do without my command and order. Now, some of you are like, oh, please get off of this quick, man. I don't want to live under that anymore. But here's a good deal, all right? Even though that's a somewhat good illustration of where we're going today, it's not a perfect one because Jesus Christ is not like your barking order sergeant. He's not like that person that stood before you and barked out those commands and you literally had no idea whether they really cared an ounce about you or not. Now, maybe some of them do, and they just really are caring, and they just know that they have a job to do. And the only way that they can set things straight from the get-go in your military career is to make sure you understand the chain of command. But Jesus isn't like that sergeant. Jesus is so much different. We don't have to wonder how Jesus feels about us. And this is so pivotal in our lives. So we're going to look at a text today. We're going to talk about this idea of a chain of command. But I want to begin, as I often do, with a question for you. So what does your chain of command, your spiritual chain of command look like? What does your spiritual chain of command look like? Maybe you're here, you're listening, you're watching, you're like, I don't have one. I don't even know that there isn't anything spiritual. I don't know if there's anything beyond the physical at all. I don't necessarily have one. Maybe you have somewhat of a connection, but it kind of comes and goes. And so, you know, sometimes you're serious about having a chain of command and you believe that ultimately you're answering to somebody else that you can't see here and now. Maybe other times in your life, he's like totally absent. There is no spiritual chain of command. You do what you want. Like for most of us, if we're honest, even as Christians, we want to steal the line from Captain Phillips, I am the captain now. Do you remember that movie? Right? So Captain Phillips, Tom Hanks, he's like leading this ship through a very, very difficult area. There are pilots that are known to try and come on board and take the ships and hold all of the crew hostage, take the belongings and the precious commodities that are on it. And so Captain Phillips is leading his people through, and these pirates come and they finally get on the ship, and this really super skinny guy says to Tom Hanks, I am the captain now. That's how we all honestly in our heart of hearts, we want to be. We want to be the captain. We want to steer. Listen, we know what the spiritual rules are, but we still want to say out loud, even to the Lord, I am the captain now. I'm the captain now. But if we're a follower of Jesus and we follow the chain of command, it's we believe, we become, we behave. And so how does Jesus want us to behave in every area of our life? I'm not talking about just those areas where you feel like you could be potentially above your pay grade. I mean, every area of your life. Do you realize that God wants to interact with you in every single area of your life? There's not one decision he wants you to make on your own. He doesn't ever want you to feel like you're alone or without help. He wants you to realize that you are totally dependent on him. As we said last week as we closed, what? Freedom comes when we are fully surrendered to the Lordship of Christ. So let's look at our text this morning. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter number 5. If you don't own a Bible, I want to encourage you to own a Bible. You don't even have to pay for one. We offer them free here at the church. They're out in the lobby at the Hope Connects table. If we run out there, we got more downstairs. We love to give away Bibles. We believe it's important that you have your own Bible, that you read from a literal Bible. I'm just here to tell you there's a benefit to that, even above and beyond having an app on your smartphone. So please pick up a Bible if you don't have one on your way out. So 1 Peter chapter number 5. This is an epistle written by the Apostle Peter, one of the disciples of the Lord. And we're going to see right off the bat that this guy that we're reading from in 1 Peter chapter 5 is very different from the Peter that existed in the Gospels. All right, so here we go. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1. He says, "The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed." So let's stop there. So this is Peter. He's describing who he is. He says he's an elder. All right. So in the Bible, pastors, those who help lead the local churches are referred to as pastors, elders. We're going to see in a moment, overseers. All right. So he says, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. And I want you to know that I'm a firsthand witness, he says in verse 1, of the sufferings of Christ. I witnessed what happened to Christ. I saw many of the things that were done to him through his ministry. I was there when the mock trials took place. I was there. I experienced all of these things. And I also saw a glimpse of his glory. Remember how Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the mountain? And the Bible says that he was transfigured before them, that his appearance was radiant, that it was different. They fell down and they were mistaken because Moses and Elijah showed up. They were wrongly assuming that they should have a temple or a building in which to have all three of them equally worshiped. They got that wrong. Remember, God removed Moses and Elijah and he said, "This is my son, worship him, worship him." So Peter saw this. He saw the Lord's sufferings. He was a part of what happened to Jesus, right? So we also have to remember that Peter was very proud. Remember when Jesus, Stephen, started talking about that he was going to be crucified? And Peter's like, there's no way. That's not going to happen on my watch. There's no way. And he even said, "Hey, listen, Lord, all of these other disciples, these guys, they're not going to protect you. They won't be there for you. They'll deny you. I never will. I'll never do that." What happened? Peter was warming his hands by the enemy's fire. He denied the Lord three times. The Bible says that he went out and he wept bitterly afterwards. So this is Peter's past, but I want you to notice how differently Peter is now as a result of what he had been through. Look at verses 2-4. It says, "Shepherd the flock of God." So the elders, those who are to lead the local churches, "shepherd the flock of God which is among you." Now, how are we to do that? Aren't you grateful that God gives us direction? That as pastors, we don't just get to get up here and just call the shots ourselves. What does the Bible say? He says, "Serving as overseers." We're not the owner, you're the slaves. We're not the boss, you're the workers. He says, serve as overseers. Notice how he says we're to see our role. He says, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. So I'm not to do this so I can, like, you know, take half the weekly offerings that come in and just take whatever I want and do whatever I want. Like, there's a system that's to be in place. I'm to be the overseer. I'm to help make decisions. I'm to help lead and guide you, as are our elders. But we're not to do it for dishonest gain. We don't do it for money. All right? Notice verse 3 says, "Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you." Now, I want to say something to every single one of you. I can't say it to those who have one time been a member of this church and left, perhaps some without ever even saying a word to me or any of you. I didn't ask you to come here and be a part of Hope Community Church. I didn't compel you to do it. I didn't promise you something that I can't, you know, follow through on. I didn't bribe you. I didn't twist your arm. You came. And so I see that as part of God's will. And so when he talks about here, he says, not being lords over those entrusted to you, I realize that it's not my doing that any of you are here. It's God's doing. It's God's doing. And I love you. I love you. And I see this as my role. Like, God has entrusted you to my care. Like, so when you're sick, man, I feel it. Like, when you're absent, I feel it. When something's going on in your life, if I know about it, it's impacting me. It's one of the things that every single night, for the most part, when I wake up between 2 or 3 in the morning, as I often do, when I know something's going on in your life, I'm raising your name and I'm raising your concern to God. You're entrusted to me. That's important to me. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So I should be the example, not just telling you what to do, but showing you how to do it. I should set the example. He says, and when the chief shepherd appears, verse 4, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So I'm sorry, but unless you're a pastor, unless you're an elder, you can't get the crown of glory that's mentioned here. Now, there's crowns that can be earned by Christians, and we all ought to be knowing what those are and pursuing them. But only pastors who do their job well can get this crown of glory. And I believe as we get those crowns in heaven, we're just going to willingly lay them right back at the feet of Jesus because he's worthy. He's worthy. If we did any good on this earth, it's because of him. All right, so we have others in play here, right? So the chain of command obviously is putting Christ first, but there's others. There's elders. There's your pastor, there's your elders, there's people who are there for you. Look at verse 5. He says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Now that doesn't mean that, they like drag you around on a chain and they whip you and it means that there should be a healthy respect for those who are older than you. This is your parents. This is your teachers. This is those who are in government. Right? This is those that God has placed in your lives. But notice, he goes on, yes, all of you be submissive to one another. And all God's people say, I like that. So all of us, as we are trying to do God's will, all of us need to see one another as mentors, as friends, as people we're accountable to and we're accountable for. All of these things are so very important. He says, just all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. I like that. So we have elders, that is pastoral leadership. We have elders, people that are older, more mature than us. And then we have one another. So this chain of command is vast. It's vast. I want you to notice now verse number 7. This is we're going to come back to this verse. It's one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? Cast all of your care, not cares, care. That means anything you care about. Cast all of your care upon him. He gives us a good reason why. Because he cares for you. We're gonna talk about that more in detail. Let's go down verse 8 and 9. Why is this so important? Okay, you're a person of faith, especially. Why is it so important we understand the chain of command, which involves casting all of our care upon the Lord? We're going to explain what that looks like, what it doesn't mean, what it does mean. Look at verse 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So what happens if we don't cast all of our care upon the Lord? The devil can be like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Satan is like, to me, he's like, you know, he's like a pit bull on a chain, right? But when you think about the one who's holding the chain, don't think about the typical person you see that's walking a pit bull around. Anybody else ever get like petrified by the person that's holding the chain from a pit bull? or even the chain itself. I mean, like skinny, like they, you know, like the wind could blow them over. And like we're just supposed to just walk within a few feet of them down the sidewalk. Listen, the Lord is not like those people. Satan is on a strong, strong leash. He can't do anything without God's okay. And there is hardly anything he can do to you if you will cast your care upon him. Now listen to me, friends, that is a key to the Christian life. Cast your care upon him so that you are not easy prey for the devil. When you don't cast your care upon him, you are easy prey for the devil. He will whisper lies into your ears and you will believe them. You got to cast all of your care upon him. I'm getting way, way, way too excited already. All right, so we resist him steadfast in the faith. All right, see that phrase in verse number 9? All right, so I want you to think about that because I believe that verse 7 describes how we do that. Resist him steadfast in the faith. How do we do that? All right, go back to verse number 7. We're going to camp out here for the rest of our time this morning. All right, verse number 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So putting Christ first involves four things. Number one, calling. Calling. Calling means if you are connecting with God. Maybe I should have used the word connecting. It's calling. It's calling. It's not telling God something he doesn't know that's troubling you. It's acknowledging to him that you know he knows and he needs to know that you know that he knows. It sounds silly, doesn't it? But isn't it amazing? How many times do you as an individual have something that's troubling you, bothering you, whatever, and it's not necessarily even that you have to tell somebody else. It's that you want to tell somebody else, not because necessarily they can do something about it or will do something about it, but just the fact that you get it off your chest just doesn't make it sound as big. It's just not as troubling when you actually hear yourself say it. Like when you keep it to yourself, it just goes in a massively ginormous direction. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger because it's just you that's dealing with it. So putting Christ first involves calling. We see that in the very first word, casting. The word casting is from two different Greek words, epirito. Say that with me, epirito. You're like a Greek scholar now, epirito. It literally means this, to toss over or upon. To toss over or upon. In other words, it's on someone or something, and then you put it on or over onto something else. So there's a couple places in Scripture where we see this. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 19, verses 33 to 35, you find the story of Jesus as he's about to ride into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey, as prophesied in the Old Testament. And Jesus tells him, hey, go into the city. You're going to find a donkey. It's going to be tied up. And just tell the owner that the Lord has need of it. And he's going to let you take it. And so they bring that. And then the Scripture tells us in verse 35, then they brought him to Jesus, that is the colt, the donkey, and they threw their own clothes on the colt and they set Jesus on him. So they threw. Threw is epirito. They threw. It was on them or on something else, and they took it and they placed it on the donkey. They put it on there. They were no longer carrying it themselves. Okay, there's another place in the book of Acts chapter 27 where the same word, epirito, is used. This is when Paul is at sea and the sea is raging and all of those who are leading the charge to try and keep the ship aright and not shipwrecked are doing everything they can. And the Scripture says this in verse number 19, on the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. So we threw, that's epirito. They threw everything that wasn't absolutely necessary in the ship, all the equipment that they would have used otherwise, they took it and they threw it out so that they could what? They could lighten their load. So that they maybe wouldn't hit some rocks that otherwise they would and possibly cause the ship to go overboard. This is the word casting that we see in verse number 7. Casting all your care upon him. Casting, it literally means to toss over or upon. It's this idea of a relationship of distribution. So sometimes when we cast something onto the Lord, that's where it stays. Sometimes that's not the case. We'll see that in a moment. So calling. So we connect with God. We connect with God. Now listen, how does your day start out? If we're honest, the way many of our days start out is by connecting with this world. We turn on the news. We plug into the radio. We pull out our dumb phone. We look at how many notifications we have. We go through our social media timelines. If we're honest, as Christians, we connect with this world before that world. What would happen if we even changed that? What would happen if the very first thing we did is not connect with this world? We connect with that world. We connect with God. We don't connect with the world that's going to pass away. We connect with the one who's going to live forever, and we get to live forever with him. We focus so much on the stuff that, man, today, yeah, it means a lot. You know, our jobs and connecting with people that we love. It's just all of those things that we do, they're important. But so much of what we invest in one day is not going to mean one iota. So we call. We come into his presence. Right? Not just when we're overwhelmed, but we do it with everything. We come to him. And we humble ourselves before God. Again, what does the scripture say? Verse 5. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What if we, right from the get-go, we said, Lord, I'm casting all of my care upon you. Lord, I don't know what this day is going to bring. I don't even have a clue. But I'm giving it to you. Lord, I'm casting all my care upon you. Right now, I'm calling upon you, right? Lord, the song says, I need you. Every hour, I need you. So putting Christ first involves calling. Number two, it involves acknowledging. So casting all your care upon him. So this is acknowledging. This isn't about shunning our responsibility. It's about securing our assets. If you don't call upon the Lord, if you don't cast your care, all of your care upon him, you're not going to realize the assets that are at your disposal. You're going to be tempted to just do whatever you can do until you get overwhelmed, and then maybe you'll call unto the Lord. But can I ask you, how many things can we really do without the Lord's involvement? Only one. Fail. So we acknowledge. We acknowledge him. We cast all of our care upon him. Again, we look at the scriptures where this word care is found elsewhere. In Matthew chapter 13, this is where Jesus is giving the parable of the sower. So like when we hear the word of God, when we read the word of God, we are like having a seed sown into us. The word of God is like a seed, and that seed falls on various grounds. That's why sometimes when you walk on a Sunday, you can't even remember a word that was said. You can't remember the text that was used. You don't remember anything. Other times it's like, man, it just embeds itself and it won't let you go. You're thinking about it. You're realizing there's changes that need to happen and there's action steps that you need to take as a result of like God's word doing something inside of you. Well, Jesus, as he's talking about this, like one of the types of a response that occurs whenever we receive the word, he says this, verse number 22 of Matthew 13, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. So sometimes when we hear the word, because of the things that we have in our life, good or bad, things that are of importance to us, things that are our responsibility, sometimes those cares that we have can choke out the word. The word doesn't have the impact in our heart, in our minds that it should have, because we're too consumed with things of this world. So there's nothing wrong with having cares. All of us have them. It's what we allow those cares to do to us. Another time, this word care that is found in our text is also found is Mark chapter 4, whenever Jesus is in the boat with his disciples, and the Bible says that Jesus goes down into the belly of the ship and he finds a pillow and he goes to sleep, and the storm rages and the disciples come to Jesus. And in verse 38 says, but he was in the stern asleep on a pillow and they awoke him and said, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? It's the same word, casting all your care upon him. Lord, do you not care? Like, do you not see what's going on with us? So it's this idea of the things that are important to us, the people that are important to us. Jesus doesn't say, just like cast those things off, don't worry about them. But there's something that we should be doing with them. We should be acknowledging that every single one of them matters to God. Not just the ones we can not handle by ourselves, all of them, they all matter to God. Care involves anyone or anything that matters to us. So why do we resist? Again, why do we resist casting all of our care upon him? Why do we resist? Let me give you an illustration. Have you ever like maybe had something really valuable in your possession? Maybe you were holding on to it and there was something else that you needed to do with your hands. And so you looked for someone around you like that you could trust with that. And it's like really hard if it's something that's valuable. It's really hard to go, hey, can you hold this for a minute? Because if we're honest, they don't care about it as much as we do. Isn't that what we think? I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's money. I don't care if it's a pet. I don't care if it's something super fragile that if dropped could break into a million pieces. Like, they don't care about it like you do. Now, let me ask you another question. Don't say it out loud. Does anybody care about the stuff in your life more than you do? Don't answer it out loud yet. Does anybody care more than you do about the stuff in your life? Number one, answer would be yes. Okay. Answer number two would be no. But do you know with many of the things that are a no, maybe it's not something you should be holding on to that tightly. Maybe it's not really something you should be holding on to at all. As a matter of fact, I'm convinced that there are some things that we consider a care to us, we should give to God and never take back. Not one amen. So we acknowledge, we say no one cares for it like us. There are some things that, yes, that's true. No one cares for them as much as us. Maybe we care too much about them. They can become an idol. They can take the place of God. They can consume us. But those things that are good, those things that are right, there is someone who cares more about them than you do. His name is Jesus. So, casting all of our care upon him involves calling, acknowledging. Number three, seeking. Casting all your care upon him. Now, this doesn't mean that we cast all of our care upon him and we do nothing from that point forward. This isn't about giving up what is our responsibility. Again, it's about securing all of our assets. And we give it to God, these things, these legitimate things we care about, whether they're people, responsibilities, issues going on in us, good things, important things. We bring them to God. Do we really believe that he cares more for them than we do? Don't answer it out loud. Do your actions prove it? Do your actions prove it? This doesn't mean that we dump it all on him and do nothing. No, we cast it on him and we let him show us what to do with it. Lord, I'm casting all my care upon you. What do you want me to do? Sometimes he says, I gave you the smarts. I gave you the know-how. You've got the tools. Just take care of it. Take care of it. It's through my strength. Just take care of it. Other times, he says, "Hey, do you remember so and so? Yeah, they've got some battery cables. They can jump start your car. Hey, they said that they were there for you if you ever needed something like this." He lets us know there are people that are in our camp that care about us, and he says, "I'm going to take care of your needs through other people that love me and you." Number three, God says, just hold on to it, and I'll hold on to it with you. Just hold on to it, and I'll hold on to it with you. I'm not taking it away. It's not going away. Just hold on to it, and I'll hold on to it with you. You're never, ever alone. You don't ever have to carry anything alone. He said he would be there for us. Our burdens, my friends, are never too heavy when we're not carrying them alone. The Lord is there. He decides when and how those things get handled. Sometimes he says, hold on to him for a day. Sometimes he says, hold on to him for a year. Sometimes he says, hold on to them until eternity. There are some burdens that you and I are going to carry literally until we see Jesus face to face. And that's just the way it is. So, seeking. Fourth and last is trusting. Trusting, casting all your care upon him. Why should we trust him? Because he cares for you. Because he cares for you. Because he loves you more than you could ever imagine. Because there's nothing going on in your life that's too big for him. Because if it's a problem for you, it's a problem for him. He loves you. He cares for you. This word cares is an interesting word. I'll just use one example that we find this elsewhere in the Gospel of John chapter 10, where Jesus is talking about shepherds and hirelings. Hirelings are people who will watch over the sheep until trouble comes and then they flee. But Jesus says, I'm not like that. I'm the good shepherd. I'm here for you. He says this beginning in verse 13 of John 10, the hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care, there's our word, does not care about the sheep. Next verse, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and I am known by them. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father and I lay down my life for my sheep. Next time you're tempted to think that Jesus doesn't care, remember he's already died for you. He's already taken your sin, my friends, to the cross with him. Trusting him. So worry is believing that we are best suited to address the matters of life alone. Any worry warts out there? Don't raise your hand. Some of you were, I saw the twitch already. Worrying is saying, I can handle this alone. Trusting is faithfully resting in the lordship and love of Christ. He's in charge. He's got you. Oh, and he loves you. He loves you more than anything. I love the Jeremy Camp song. The other day I heard it on Caleb Fan Awards. He sang it with his daughters. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Right? So as we kind of somewhat wrap up, and I mean that somewhat wrap up, can I ask you a couple questions? What are you holding on to that isn't worth holding? What are you holding on to that doesn't belong to you? What are you holding on to alone? What might your faith inform you about that care? It's the what over the when. What has God said about it? Maybe it's his will for you to just keep on carrying it and leaning on him and stop worrying about it or when he's going to take care of it. His timing is perfect. He'll take care of it when he's good and ready because he's good and ready. That wasn't even in my notes. Man, that was awesome, right? So I want to share a poem I was reminded of. Actually, it's a poem slash hymn. And many of us grew up in church and we grew up on hymns. And Mary Brainerd wrote this poem slash hymn called He Knows. It says, I know not what awaits me. God kindly veils my eyes. And o'er each step on my onward way, he makes new scenes to rise. And every joy he sends me comes with sweet and glad surprise. One step I see before me, 'tis all I need to see. The light of heaven more brightly shines when earth's illusions flee. And sweetly through the silence comes his loving follow me. Oh, blissful lack of wisdom, 'tis blessed not to know. He holds me with his own right hand and will not let me go. And lulls my troubles soul to sleep in him who loves me so. So on I go not knowing, I would not if I might. I'd rather walk in darkness with God than walk alone in light. I'd rather walk with him by faith than go alone by sight. Chain of command. Casting all your care upon him. We'll close with this little statement. Life is hard by the yard, by the inch, it's a cinch. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. God in heaven, burn this truth into our souls. God, that no matter what is going on in us, God, it does not need to rise to the level of fear or anxiety or worry or stress. Why? Because we can cast all of our cares upon you, every one of them, big and small. Why? Because you care for us. I pray, God, that this morning you will unburden some of your people with a load they are carrying that they need to give to you and never take back. For others, that they would realize just how important it is to cast every one of their cares upon you, not just the big ones. To realize that, God, you are going to show us a way. Maybe it's to show us we have the strength, the knowledge, the skill to handle it. Maybe it's that others around us do. Maybe it's that we just need to realize we're not carrying this burden alone. You're walking with us. Oh, God. May you impress that upon our hearts today. May you be honored and glorified as we look to you, the head of the chain of command, the Lord Jesus Christ, the lover of our souls. May we cast our care upon you today, God. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message delivered at Hope Community Church, located in Waterford, Michigan. We sincerely hope this message has encouraged you to begin a relationship with God or strengthen the one you already have. If we can assist you on your spiritual journey, please call the church office at 248-481-8240 or contact us through our online home at www.hopecommunitywaterford.net. Our church meets every Sunday at 10 a.m. and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. We would be honored to have you join us if you live in the area. Thanks again for listening.